It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Yes, happy Monday to you here from the Adam Carriker Show. I am Jake Bachman, usually sitting in with Adam Carriker, and that will be the case today as well. Carriker is running in as fast as he can. There are Big 12 offensive players in his way, former offensive linemen. No, that's not true, but it sounds better if it is. In any case, we do have Austin Orman filling in for the first few minutes with me. We'll also hear from Austin later in today with myself, as long as Terrell doesn't. Terrell's kind of got some, I guess it would be Big 8 offensive players in his way today. Thanks for jumping in here, Austin, and killing a few minutes with me.
Oh, anytime, anytime. I am furiously Googling Adam Carriker 40-yard dash just to see what I can find. Let's see. So RAS football, I like a lot of what they do, kind of the athletic testing from the combine. His relative athletic score, 9.38, grades out in the great category.
Yeah, okay.
These are NFL combine numbers. 33.5-inch vert, 9-foot broad jump, 4.18 short shuttle. 7.06 on the three cone, 40-yard dash, average for position, 4.72.
Okay, fair enough.
Faster than I've run a 40, but according to RAS, average for the position. Elite size, though, at 6'6 and 300 pounds coming out.
I say, regardless of what those stats say, it was good enough to be a first-round draft pick, so that works out, I'm sure. I think he said before he would trained a little bit differently had he known kind of going into that. And that's kind of interesting altogether, is there's a different training regimen. I hear from some folks, they talk to others, they would disagree. So everybody's kind of got their different opinion and different approach to it. But some football players train differently specifically to test well on those for those numbers rather than to getting into football shape. And then they kind of have to maybe add some weight here and there to get into football shape.
If I were to go through the NFL draft combine or NBA draft combine, whatever you want to, whichever you prefer, to me, I would almost tailor my workouts to excel as much as I can in a stat or a category that I know a team that I want to get drafted to is looking at. Now, I get it's a big old job interview. You go to who drafts you. I know that's how it works.
Yeah.
But if, let's say, I don't know, the Colts value, you know, the broad jump versus another team valuing the three cone or the shuttle or whatever, I'm focusing on that jump. For the Colts, that's what I'm doing. I'm building as much explosiveness as I can over the next, you know, 2 months before the combine, before the draft and all that, after my season's done, because I want to go there instead.
That's it. I mean, there are different ways, as we saw with maybe some interview tactics from whether it be Shedeur Sanders or in the NBA draft that we saw this last year, where might not want to quite go in Utah. So you gotta find different ways to try to land where you want to be. You wouldn't necessarily just look at highest on the board. That's where I want to land, because it is a fascinating thing. And of course, Adam's been through it. Plenty of our coworkers have been through it. Though I'm always fascinated by the draft and what it is like. All right, where am I going to live for the next 3 years at least, you know, or you know, the expectation and hope is maybe it'd be 10 years and you just don't know until your name's called. And then of course, that's if you don't get traded on draft night, where you start just get kind of, all right, now I'm kind of mentally preparing. And then 10 minutes later, it's like, okay, never mind. You're not going to live in Buffalo anymore. You're going to live in San Diego or, you know, Los Angeles, I guess. Yep. Now. And you'd be like, all right, well, that'll work for me.
Don't say that too loud. Jay Foreman might come get you. Have you heard Jay's draft stories?
Uh-uh.
So he thought he was going to be a day two guy, right? Ends up going fifth round, as we know. He had two teams in mind that he did not want to get drafted by. One of them was the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Vikings ties, cold, Wisconsin versus Minnesota, whatever.
Sure.
Can you guess the other team that Jay didn't want to get drafted by?
Well, if it's cold, I'm wondering if it's the Bills.
It was indeed the Buffalo Bills.
It was the Bills.
Jay Foreman's two teams he did not want to draft him. Arguably the most storied, you know, franchise in the NFL in terms of full history in the Packers. And the Buffalo Bills, who took him. Now, he said he had some promises from Carolina or that kind of fell through or something along the lines. I'm sure I can get the story out of him again at some point. But Jay Foreman did everything in his power to not go to Buffalo. And where did he end up and have the best time of his life? Buffalo, Nebraska, or Buffalo, New York.
Yeah. Fantastic. I mean, it's interesting, because I think that's probably the story for a lot of people going in. Unfortunately, now the Buffalo Bills are pretty good now.
They are. I'm
trying to think back then. I think they were pretty solid. Not where they were. Not where they are now. But when they drafted him. So
Also, people, if you're watching on stream, I'm not texting. I don't have my laptop with me. I'm on my phone to look things up.
There you go. Modern way of doing it. I know a lot of people can see that getting done. What were your thoughts kind of coming? I think it was pretty cool to see the Nebraska volleyball go against the alumni. And I wasn't able to watch too much of the match, but obviously it was Nebraska volleyball did not come out top 3-1. Looked like the matches were rather competitive. I was always kind of thinking going into that, what if the alumni win? You know, would that be a bad look? So I was wondering, did they sandbag it just to make sure they don't beat the current number one team in the nation before the season even starts in an exhibition?
I don't think they sandbagged it. I think we are from Kelly Natter, Kelly Hunter, about, yeah, I mean, at first it's going to be joking competitiveness, and that I'm sure the real competitive juices will kick in. And they were relatively tight sets all the way across. Really just watched the highlights. But I had that same thought going in. What if the alumni still got it? You know, not that all of them are like just done playing. I mean, some of them are still playing professionally in some capacity. And I'm sure at some point you lose most of what you had. But these are some pretty darn good players in Nebraska program history. Not just like, oh, this lady was a backup for 4 years, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah,
that's not who they brought in. They brought actual, you know, former first team All-Americans and people who have their names in the Nebraska volleyball record books. So I was never really worried that the current team wouldn't win just because it's what they're doing. But sometimes, you know, old age and treachery beat youth and vigor. So there's always that thought in the back of your mind, do they still got it? And they do. I mean, they put on a heck of a show by all accounts.
Yeah.
Tight, competitive. I think it was a legitimate good look for this year's program, but it is probably for the best that the 25 Huskers ended up winning that one.
Well, and they kind of played around with that idea in football going into the Husker games. And I think we all would have been intrigued, and that's what the volleyball, I mean, obviously very intriguing and a very cool story. And it looked like the reception and, you know, the whole thing, just kind of a family atmosphere, which, again, Husker games, I think was, I hate to say it, mishandled a little bit. I think if they eventually, they said that, okay, we're not going to do a game. And then they're eventually like, all right, we'll do a little bit of a game. And by then everybody's like, well, we didn't plan to travel. And of course they didn't play some of the top players. But I think if they would have rearranged that and to say, yeah, we're doing a game, just so you know, it's not going to be the top players, but then we're going to do all this other stuff with the top players on the side. That'll be exciting.
I think rather see it for basketball more than I would football.
Former players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'd rather see.
Yeah, you can put together a pretty good team, I think, from basketball. See if they still got it. So it's kind of the same thing like you're saying, though. It's you know, some of those guys would still be playing you know, professional basketball. Mm-hmm. So it would be an interesting interesting dynamic, especially for the Nebraska in college basketball now, where the team is not necessarily hasn't played a whole lot together. Usually any core foundation of anybody these days. So, that would kind of offset the fact, I suppose, that the other team wouldn't have played together too much.
Or at all, right? I mean, yeah. There was some, you know, some overlap of teammates in the volleyball alumni match, but not just like, oh, we brought back the 2017 team or 2019 team or anything like that. That's part of the fun, right? Because you put together your all-time teams, oh, how would this have worked together? And obviously they're not in the peak of the prime of their career, so it's maybe not the exact same. But to see... You know, I don't know if Ty Lue would ever come back and play in something like that, but does he still have it, right? We know Eastrick's just sitting in the corner. He's got 5 good minutes, then he's calling it quits. But Isaiah Roby, would he come back? And if James Palmer Jr., would he give a good look? I mean, could you get Bryce or Juwan, you know, to come back even just 1 year removed to give those guys a look? I think there's a lot of fun things they could do with that.
Yeah. I wonder if it spreads at all from volleyball to elsewhere, because again, it's not necessarily like they ducked competition at all in this volleyball match. So you could see who you would bring back for basketball. And obviously football is just a little bit harder. Like, again, they toyed around with that idea. Maybe you could do like a flag football thing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't know how many former Husker players want to get involved. And then if they do, obviously.
But at that point, what's the point?
Right.
It was just, it felt Pro Bowl 2.0.
Yeah.
You know, which I'm honestly fine with just getting rid of the whole weekend. Right.
Give them
a little trophy to put on their shelf. Maybe pay for just a vacation, but don't make them do.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Football stuff. Clearly they don't
care. The Pro Bowl in general?
Yeah. Clearly we don't care. Clearly they don't care. That's fine. Suck it up. Let it go away for 5 years. People will miss it. And then you bring it back to great aplomb and people be all about it again.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. Or like find some. Yeah, you got to find some way to make it a little bit more entertaining. They've tried everything they can. I'm sorry. I just don't care who wins the tug of war. I mean, it doesn't really matter. And it's sad. I mean. I'll ask you this, because you're a baseball guy. Did you like the World Series on the line?
Funny you ask that. I was just having that conversation with my family. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I think it's probably for the best that they got rid of that as an incentive, because who on the Dodgers wants the pity all-star from the Rockies or the Nationals pissing away their chance at home field advantage in the World Series? That would be incredibly entirely frustrating. And I also think at the end of the day, it's best that it went away, because I think baseball is a sport that's harder to fake. You know, it's a one-on-one sport until it's not. Basketball at all levels can easily devolve into a one-on-one competition. Oh, it's this guy's turn, this guy's turn, this guy's turn. Football is such a violent, not just contact, but collision sport that you get people holding up. And then when you slow up and you don't go 100%, that's where a lot of the injuries happen, as opposed to going full speed. Baseball's pretty hard to fake, right? Are you going to swing half-heartedly? If you're a pitcher, are you going to, you know, throw your fastball at 90 instead of at 95, and you're just going to throw. It's what's natural. So I like getting rid of the World Series for home field advantage, because I guess at the end of the day, I didn't think that baseball needed that incentive to get people to try harder. Cause I think it's harder to fake that effort and competitiveness in baseball, as opposed to what we've seen the NFL and NBA devolve into.
My only problem with that, of course, when it was on the line, like you said, is that it was, it wasn't the best of the best. If they would have just played, well, not that they didn't play there, it's just the everybody plays mentality of like youth sports. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, well, if we're going for the world, like if you actually have something on the line, then don't you want to put your best foot forward? Mm-hmm. And so they kind of had to kind of dance around that. But The reason I brought it up is because at least it made it watchable. There's nothing. And to your point, baseball at least probably still has the best All-Star game. But there's just it's the NBA All-Star game. They tried, of course, they're trying some different things now and have different games go up to 21 or whatever it was. It's just tough when there's nothing on the line. And then the bigger thing is, you know, years and years ago when they had these All-Star games, sometimes you didn't have cross league play. And so it was like, OK, this is actually new. This is something cool. This is something unique. Now everybody leaves and jumps ship free agency every other year anyway. So you see everybody play each other.
And everyone plays each other anyways.
Yeah.
Right. With all the schedule, you know, realignments and how they've done their schedule. The one thing I would like to see baseball do is I get why they don't have it at the upper levels, but I love the reentry substitution rule.
Mm.
I get it. It like my argument for the longest time was I like the National League rules where you're a baseball player, right? You hit in Legion ball. Maybe you hit in college, right? Yeah. You should still be able to at least do a little bit, but then you figure out very quickly when you talk to people, oh yeah, it's actually a lot harder to hit at the major league level than it is at the high school level. So I get specialization, but that's where I think baseball could even take one more step. Give catchers courtesy runners. You know, say you can go pinch hit for this guy and then put the glove back out on the field. And even if that's just in the All-Star game, right?
Yeah.
What the American League had available for the home run derby, I don't, it's my understanding they couldn't resubstitute players they had taken out of the game. Maybe they did, and I'm speaking out of turn, but the American League's home run, you know, swing off versus the National League's was completely different. In the All-Star game, if you're, you know, in top of the eighth inning and there's a pivotal bat and, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. got subbed out for, you know, whatever scrub shortstop they also put in the game as a replacement, go ahead and put Bobby back in for that at bat, right? That's what people are going to tune in to see more so than, oh, here's, you know, pity all-star whoever taking the at bat. And again, I think this should only be a rule after the player has gotten an at bat. You can't just put him in the field and then yank him for the at bat. Like, sure, give everyone an at bat in the All-Star game. It's cool. It's an honor. They earned it with a great first, you know, 90-ish games of the season. But when the game's on the line like that in an All-Star game, it can play to the purity of the sport and the way that it's always traditionally been played and add to the fan experience. And I don't think you'll lose anything because people understand it's the All-Star game.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think that's a great idea to you know, because it is such an honor to be a starter, but that does mean you're not going to make it to the fourth inning.
right.
So, you know, you kind of got to find a way to maybe bring those guys back. And especially that, and that was a question for a lot of people, was like, where's the star power in this swing off? like there, you know, some notable names, but where's the top end of the league? And they had already kind of started there. So that's kind of interesting. Do you, as you watch in college football now, they're talking about expanding the playoffs to even more and not necessarily to get into that, but just that there have been changes, obviously, in football, basketball, baseball. Do you like to see the game change, evolve, or are you kind of, you know, obviously, like we talked about with the DH now, you know, it's just it changes completely the way the game is. And there's some little talk about basketball. There's always, you know, people, should we throw in a 4-point line?
Right.
And I think, no, that's ridiculous. But then I kind of think too, like back to how much the 3-point line changed the game. And it took, you know, a while for teams to adjust, but now it completely runs the game now. And DH kind of the same thing where it's like, okay, we're going to ease our way into it. And now it's like, yeah, that's, you know, and it's all offense. Right. All this stuff is offensive driven. Football has changed all the rules basically to make it more difficult for the defense and to get more offense out there. And that's better for the fan experience, like you said earlier, for most people and in the TV ratings, the money and all that. But at a certain point, sometimes I just kind of wonder, because then, you know, then you get into the comparing generations. I think I saw a stat that Draymond Green has more 3-pointers than Larry Bird. And you're going, OK, well, that's not necessarily a fair, you know, comparison.
Right. It's not. I think right now in this era that we're in, there are just so many changes taking place in every sport all the time that I'm kind of sick and tired of the changes. But like everything, it's cyclical. Right. I assume that eventually we'll get to a point where we'll start swinging back toward, you know, defense being more emphasized. We'll maybe, you know, lift some of the restrictions on offense, or at least find a situational balance for defense, because I don't also know who these leagues surveyed to say, oh, fans want more offense, fans want more points. Were they talking to people who just watched an 82-81, you know, NBA game in 2004 that said, what I really would have liked here is both teams to break 100? I don't know. There's got to be a happy balance, right? Because I don't think it's sustainable for the sport long term to keep playing 130 to 120, 120, 110 games. But I also don't know if, I mean, obviously it's a function of the rules, the way the game's being played, players adapting to those rules, and just how good they've gotten in the NBA. NFL, sure, you can tell me they've gotten a little soft, but then you can push back with, well, but concussions. You know, it's already a violent sport. And you have to take that into account. Baseball, I do think, was overdue for some of these changes, though. It's a game that, for the most part, has been dominated by pitching, right? 60 feet, 6 inches. Pitchers had first earlier access to more data to improve. So baseball had to do something. And I think it's trending in the right direction. I don't think we're ever going back to super happy fun ball, you know, steroid era, early 2000s levels of offense. But I also don't know if it's the right thing to do to return to 1980s offense, where it's just slap hitters everywhere, singles everywhere. There's an art to it, but I think baseball honestly has done a better job of getting back into equilibrium in terms of different styles of play compared to the NBA, where it's not as uniform vanilla cookie cutter as people want to believe. There is some stylistic difference in how teams get to these outcomes, but it's harder for these outliers to win in basketball and harder for them to win in football at the highest level compared to baseball.
I think it's funny too, because my argument for any, you know, because I actually prefer defense. I like the 2019 was so much fun, partially because of how frustrating the offense was, though. The Iowa State game specifically, I think they had, sometimes I misquote it because I say 7, but I think it was 9 turnovers. It was just a lot of turnovers, and it was painstakingly hard to watch and think from the defense perspective, like, my goodness, they've done everything they can and they're going to end up losing this game. And they did. I kind of like that. And it kind of puts a lot of more emphasis on special teams and stuff like that. But my argument anyways is because, like, I like how people will, like, downplay baseball or hockey and be like, well, it's only 5-4. I'd rather watch a 35-28 game in football. And you're going, that's the same amount of scores.
Right.
They just count, you know, the your touchdowns
differently.
Right. So, I mean, you could, I always think if you, you know, hockey, soccer, and people, you know, obviously traditional as a sport are yelling at me right now, but if you just made those worth 7 points, you might get more people in just to trick them to think there's more scoring going on.
The day that baseball counts a run as 7 points is the day I leave.
There it is.
The day I leave the sport. I'm going to throw my headset just thinking about it. And I'm not even anti football.
Yeah. Come on. That's typically the reaction I get, but it's just funny because I think that is the case for a lot of people.
It is.
You know, so it's kind of fun to run that down. I believe Adam is on his way. Should be here any minute. If not, we'll return with more of myself and Austin here on the Adam Carriker Show. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.